Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you once again for taking time out of your busy life to join me on the broadcast. Today is Thursday, December 31st, 2020. Let's pause. Everyone take a deep breath. It is almost over. Yes, this year, within the next several hours, is about to finally come to an end. And I don't have to guess. I know that almost every one of us cannot wait for this year to end. I don't have to go over all of the details. You know the whole routine. This has been, for all of us, an incredibly challenging, difficult, unbelievable year. And what we look forward to in 2021 is a year of real change, a year of new beginnings, a year to say goodbye to this horrible virus, this lifestyle, this oppression that we've all been living under. I know I was really excited this morning to see that the vaccine has made its way finally to my Iranian friends in Iran. I'm very happy for them. They have suffered unbelievably as well, too. So I'm really happy to see that they're starting the process there to be vaccinated. What an answer to prayer that is. Well, next week is a pivotal week for us as a nation. I think you all know what I'm going to talk about next week. Let's start with the runoff in Georgia. If we don't prevail, if Warnock and the other man doesn't go down to defeat, what that means is real simple. You know the routine. For the next 4 years, the liberal left, the communists, I can say, will have control of both the House and the Senate and will pretty much be able to push through their progressive liberal communist agenda. So it is imperative that we prevail. And let's hope that this is not another stacked, rigged election. All eyes will be watching. Now that's Tuesday. Wednesday, my gosh, is where the Congress meets. That is, the House of Representatives and the Senate meet to certify this fraudulent, absolutely disgraceful election. Thank God for Senator Josh Hawley of my state of Missouri. Josh Hawley is one of the only ones so far that has publicly said as a senator that he will stand up and oppose the counts, the electoral counts for this election. That he is going to stand up. Now, Mitch McConnell has warned everyone, don't try it. thank God for Josh Hawley, who has the courage and the stamina to say, I'm going to stand up. Now, there's other people in Congress that have voiced their opposition, but we need more than one senator to really make headways, to have a debate and to talk about it. Next Monday is the beginning of what is the most important week for our constitutional republic. Barring a miracle and a sovereign act of God's providence, Joe Biden will be the 46th president of the United States. And what I wanted to do on the program today is talk about one aspect of his presidency that is very, very open out there, and that is his foreign policy with the Iranian people. Never mind China, we could talk about that. I'm talking about my Iranian friends and what it means to them. As you well know, for the last almost 4 years, President Trump has been the voice of hope and freedom for the people of Iran. He tore up the nuclear deal. He imposed very tough and stringent sanctions on the Iranian people. And tomorrow will be, I think tomorrow or Sunday, not sure exactly of the exact date, this weekend will be the one-year anniversary of the killing of General Soleimani by President Trump and his administration. And the Iranians vow revenge, but it'll be 1 year. So you know what has been going on. Trump has been a voice. He means what he says. But if Joe Biden, and when he becomes president, he has a complete reversal policy. He'll return to the disastrous nuclear deal. In fact, it was just this past week that former UN ambassador Nikki Haley voiced her opposition to President-elect Biden's plan to rejoin the Iran nuclear deal. And here's what she tweeted. She said, "The Iran deal is only as reliable and trustworthy as the partner who signs the agreement, and Iran is neither of those. Iran continues to enrich uranium, sponsor terrorists, and call for Israel and America's destruction. Members of the Iranian parliament recently chanted, 'Death to America,' says Nikki Haley." In an interview to the New York Times, President-elect Joe Biden had expressed his desire to rejoin the Iranian nuclear deal, which, of course, you know, that was the key foreign policy accomplishments of Obama and his administration. But in 2018, President Donald Trump unilaterally withdrew from this deal, which was known as the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action. Under that deal, Iran had agreed to greatly limit its nuclear program through 2025. Well, really, do you believe them? What Trump argued that this deal basically gave Iranians a pathway to nuclear weapons. Instead of coddling the mullahs, this is what Nikki Haley says, Donald Trump withdrew from Obama's Iran deal and imposed maximum pressure sanctions on Iran. These sanctions dried up the Iranian economy and deprived the regime of the money it needed to fund its terrorist activities and harm our military, Nikki Haley said. Now, Trump not only imposed one of the toughest sanctions on Iran, but also ordered the killing of Qasem Soleimani, the powerful Iranian general who died in a U.S. drone strike in Iraq just a year ago in January. Biden and his advisors have said that they will rejoin this disastrous deal if Iran returns with compliance with the agreement. Oh, really? Iran wants the same cushy deal, Haley says, it had before. Sanctions relief and cash with few demands in return. The regime wants to continue sponsoring terrorists throughout the Middle East, build up its missile arsenal, and only face short-term restrictions on developing its nuclear arsenal, Nikki Haley continued to say. This is what is in the plans for the Biden administration. Now, I also came across an article from the National Review, and it's entitled, "There's No Reason for Biden to Reward Iran." It was back in September that Joe Biden described his Iran policy in an op-ed for CNN. And after several paragraphs criticizing President Trump, Biden made an unshakable commitment to prevent Iran from acquiring a nuclear weapon. He offered Tehran, quote, a credible path back to diplomacy. Oh, the terms are simple. If Iran returns to strict compliance with the nuclear deal, Biden says, the United States would rejoin the agreement as a starting point for follow-on negotiations. Sanctions would be lifted, exactly what they want. And it's going to be hard, Biden said, but yeah, you know, this is him. Sure, Biden admitted the agreement did not cover, listen to this, his agreement did not cover Iran's missile programs or support for terrorism or human rights violations or malign behavior in Syria, Iraq, and Yemen. Absolutely, it contained a sunset clause that freed Iran of its obligations and limited inspections to non-military installations. Well, good Lord, what do you think that's going to give them? We don't have anything to do with their missile program. They're going to get support for terrorism. They're going to get more sanctions relief money. The human rights violations are not going to be addressed whatsoever. And they have the sunset clause again. And so this is Biden's promise. The best way to achieve getting some stability in the region is with the nuclear program. Come again? Really? Stability is not how most people would describe the Middle East after 2015. Iran, after this deal, continued to launch missiles, send weapons and rockets to Hezbollah in Syria and Lebanon, Shiite missiles in Iraq, Houthis in Yemen. Iran continued to capture and hold captive U.S. citizens and harass and even detain U.S. naval personnel. Iran continued to harbor al-Qaeda's number two until he was killed earlier last year. The economic benefits from sanctions relief went straight to the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps. Its leader at that time, General Qasem Soleimani, used the money to sow murder and chaos before, thank God, Trump ended his reign of terrorism last January. So this so-called nuclear deal is going to bring stability to the Middle East? Come on, Biden. It did nothing but cause more harm and destruction and death. It's fantastic to think that this deal is going to stabilize anything. But this is what Biden is doing. And this is what it means if he gets his way and we stand and he gets his way with this deal. One way, the only way, I think, to stand up to Iran's abuses would be the number one temptation to resist reentering. This is an absolute disaster. Paying them off to abide by an agreement is a joke. Stability in the Middle East won't come if America rejoins the JCPOA. The only way stability is going to come is when the Iranian people themselves put an end to the Islamic revolution in their country. We saw last November Trump was supporting them again as they rose up during the gas hike prices, and they fought bravely. It's very tough to defeat a nation when you have no arms. You have no weapons to defend yourself. But the only way stability is going to come to the Middle East is when this regime goes away and when the Iranian people rise up and take control of their country once again. But that's not all. Biden wants to rejoin the nuclear deal. There are some progressive groups in Washington who support NIAC, the so-called lobbyists for Iranian freedoms in Washington. They're nothing more than a lobbyist group for the Iranian regime in Iran. But there is a coalition of progressive foreign policy groups that are pressing President-elect Joe Biden to hire an Iranian national who is accused of lobbying for the Islamic regime. They want him to become a senior administrative person in the Biden administration. And I want to tell you a list about this man. This man, how do I describe him? Well, his name is Trita Parsi. And he is the co-founder of the National Iranian American Council, which is called NAIAC. And he has been endorsed to oversee Middle East affairs on the White House National Security Council. Listen to this. What do you think he's going to do for Iran? He's going to empower the mullahs. This has nothing to do with a group in Washington that wants to see hope and change for the Iranian people. No, they are lobbyists for the regime in Iran. Parsi, who now serves as vice president of something called the Quincy Institute, which is an isolation think tank. By the way, this isolationist think tank is bankrolled by billionaires George Soros and Charles Koch. Well, what does George Soros have to do with our country? He has been financing the rioting, the destruction, the undermining of our democracy, our freedom, our Constitution. So if the Quincy Institute, which is bankrolled by billionaire George Soros, supporting Parsi, what do you think the plans are? To help the Iranian regime, very simple. So he's been, that is, Parsi has been one of the most visible champions of diplomacy with Iran. He played a critical role in promoting the Obama administration's nuclear deal in 2015. So here's the thing, though. Many regional experts and U.S. officials told the Free Beacon in a response to this that it's unlikely Parsi will get this job because in 2013 he was identified as a dual Iranian-Swedish citizen, and that's going to give him a problem getting this job. It would require top security clearance, and thankfully maybe that won't happen because of that whole situation. He's a U.S. green card holder. Now, here's the point. Only U.S. citizens are eligible to obtain a security clearance. So maybe with these things stacked against him, he will not get this job. But this man is dangerous. It's true, he's probably not going to get it because of the security clearance. But let me tell you a little bit about his work with the NIAC. He and the organization have been accused of lobbying on behalf, as I mentioned to you, the Iranian regime. And NIAC was ordered to pay more than $180,000 in 2013 to the Legal Defense Fund of an Iranian-American writer following a defamation lawsuit that claimed NIAC was acting as an unregistered lobby shop for Iran. Court for the District of Columbia said Parsi's work was, quote, not inconsistent with the idea that he was first and foremost an advocate for the regime. Congressional letters have also probed the activities of NIAC, alleging violations of the Foreign Agents Registration Act, which requires those who lobby for foreign nations to disclose their work. He has been busy, I believe, as well as NIAC, doing everything they can to prop up this regime in Iran. It has nothing to do with Iranians abroad and their freedom. It has nothing to do with anything but being a voice for the Iranian regime. But again, I bring this up to say to you, this is what the left, the radical left, and Joe Biden and his administration want to do. They want to sleep once again with the mullahs in Iran. And if they get their way, that's exactly what we have, is a return to this deal, empowering, enriching the pockets of mullahs. And again, the voice of the Iranian people will be suppressed and oppressed by the Biden administration. What do we do? Well, we speak out, we pray, we stand up against NIAC, we stand up against the Biden administration, We send email after email to the White House. We do everything we can to stop their plan to return to this deal. It is very, very important. That's the job that we need to do to stop Joe Biden and his progressive lobbyists from accomplishing the purpose that they're setting out to do. But this is the news this morning. My heart is with the people of Iran. I know there are many of my good Iranian-American friends that are going to Washington on January 6th. It is going to be an explosive day. Iranian-Americans that live here are meeting with others and going on a bus to Washington to stand up for their people in Iran, to stand up against Biden and his plans to return to this deal, to be a voice for them, because this next president, if he becomes president, will certainly not be a voice for the Iranian people like Donald Trump was. So this next week is an explosive, important week that if there's ever a time for us to stand up and to shout and to pray, it's this time, folks. This is so serious. The whole future of our country, the future for the people of Iran, are right on the line. And we have a part to play in speaking out and praying. And that's what I do here on the Cross in the Desert. So please join me and let's set aside time to be a voice of hope and freedom to the Iranian people, to be a voice of hope and freedom to our own people, as next week is such an important week for the future of our country. Now, one of the things I wanted to share with you today, as we look forward to 2021 as a year of new beginnings, the only way I know how to face this year is by my dependence and trust in God. He is my rock. He is my foundation. He is the reason I do this program. I want his blessing and approval of this program in the new year. I want to continue being the voice for the Iranian people. I want to continue writing their stories in my book. That is my goal, my hope. I lay it at the feet of Jesus. I want to do this for another year. But let me ask you, how are you facing this year? How will you begin this new year of 2021? We have been through a difficult, difficult year. The way that we should face this year is to have a foundation of hope. And part of that foundation of hope is to have security as a Christian, to be secure in the love of God through Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8, the Apostle Paul, writing about the persecution and the oppression that he was going through, says, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed." And so part of that verse is talking about we can rise up against the oppression that we face. And the Apostle Paul said, sure, this has been a difficult year. We've been perplexed by troubles, but we're not crushed. We've been perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, verse 10, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. I think by reading that, you can relate to the fact that this has been a challenging year. But we're not in despair. We're not crushed. We're not abandoned. And the way that we begin 2021 is recognizing the security we have in Christ. I really encourage you to start out your year reading Romans chapter 8, because if there's ever a chapter in the Bible that speaks of our position and our security in Christ, it is Romans chapter 8. Therefore, we have no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is therefore no condemning sentence against those that are in Christ Jesus. And that chapter ends with what I want to talk to you about this morning, being secure in the love of God. Let's listen to this great chapter. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not even spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us and is sitting in the place of honor as God's right hand, pleading for us. Verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will be able to ever separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Can you say amen? If there's ever one chapter in the Bible that absolutely is rock solid assurance for us as Christians, this is that chapter, Romans chapter 8. Books upon books, pages upon pages of ink has been spilled in commenting on these incredible verses. Who was under siege and persecution through the Romans, through the Jewish leadership, persecution, near death, stoned, left for dead, imprisoned, writing most of the New Testament as a prisoner. In every bit of tribulation he suffered, he made it very clear that I am convinced. That means I am persuaded. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that nothing that has happened to me or that will happen to you and I will ever, ever separate us from God's love. He goes on to list what those things are. Death won't separate us. Angels nor demons. There's no demonic force in this world arrayed against us that can succeed in separating us from Christ. Our fears and our doubts, our worries about tomorrow, powers of hell, even everything that Satan has thrown at you and me this year, if you are still here in the flesh, you have survived. And even if you die, nothing can separate you from the love of God. The powers of hell, Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. No power in the sky above, no drone, nothing in the earth below, nothing in all creation can separate you and I from the love of God revealed in Christ. Do you believe that? This is how you and I start the new year. If we are not convinced of God's grace and love for us, If we start out the new year with a list of all the things I'm going to accomplish, and if we don't have this settled forever in our heart and spirit, then what happens is that Christianity becomes a performance treadmill without the grace and love of God. This is the first thing that you have to settle forever in your walk with Jesus. You have to be convinced and assured of his love and his grace for you. Because if not, you will spend 2021 trying to earn your righteousness and right standing with God. Now, you may not think that's something you do. You may be saying something like, I got a list of the do's I want to do for God. And then you start out maybe in the right motive, but unless your heart is assured of his love and grace, it becomes a performance treadmill where you're trying your best to please a holy God in your own strength, in your own power, and in your own good works. A good Christian author, Jerry Bridges, who's gone on to be with Jesus, used to write, he made this a preeminent teaching. Every day we need to preach the gospel to ourselves. His point being, if not, your life becomes a performance treadmill of trying to earn merit with God. You may not think that's what you're doing, but that's what you do when you're not assured of his love and grace to keep you forever, to keep you in right relationship to him forever. God is holding on to us. It's not us holding on to God. The Apostle Paul in this great eighth chapter asks the rhetorical question, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? I want us to start out this year not on the performance treadmill. I want us to start out 2021 assured that the very God of the universe loves us, preserves us, will keep us to the very end. He that began a good work in you, Philippians 1:6, will do it until the coming of Christ. Jesus is with us every step of the way. For most of us who have suffered the loss of family and friends and loved one due to COVID-19, this has been a year where you have been pressed to the limit, pushed to the wall. But in 2021, you can begin the year in the hope and in the assurance that you will never be separated from God's love. If God is for us, who can be against us? Since God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares to accuse us whom God has chosen? God has given right standing with himself. Who condemns us? Really, no one. Christ Jesus died for you and me. He was raised to life for you and me. He is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. And so the question is, do you believe this? Can anything ever separate you from Christ's love? I hope and pray, verse 38, you will say, I am convinced that nothing will ever separate me from the love of God. God says in the Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 30, I have loved you with an everlasting love. You cannot be separated. Right now, I want us to enjoy this brand new music from Mercy Me, the song called Say I Won't, right here on the cross in the desert.
It all begins Yesterday, I didn't understand. Driving 35 with a rocket inside, didn't know what I had. While I've been waiting to live, my life's been waiting on me. I'm gonna run. No, I'm gonna fly. I'm gonna know what it means to live. And my just be alive. The world's gonna hear. Cause I'm gonna shine. And I will. Not enough.
Motivational worship music from Mercy Me. This is the same group that gave us the classic song, I Can Only Imagine. Love the lyrics to that song. I'm going to run. No, I'm going to fly. I'm going to know what it means to live and not just be alive. The world's going to hear because I'm going to shout and I will be dancing when circumstances drown the music out. Say I won't. Wow. Let that be a motivation for us in the new year. We're not going to run. We're going to fly. This new year is the heritage God has given his people to triumph, to be strong, to be victorious, to not let the gates of hell oppress them, to not let the demons arrayed against them to overcome them. This is our year because God has ordained it to be our year, to make a difference in our country, to stand up for righteousness and a truth, to not be cowering in fear, but to be triumphant, trusting God, and be fearless and faithful to him. Let that be your rally cry for this year. Will it be an easy year? I don't know. It never is easy. But in every circumstance and in every tribulation, know this, that the evil that comes against us, God says very clearly what they meant for evil, I meant for good. God will always bring out beauty from the ashes, good out of the evil and the suffering that you go through. So yes, 2021 will be filled with very many temptations, difficult times, very big challenges for us, but we triumph in Christ. We are more than conquerors through Jesus. Our strength, our hope, our destiny, our everything is in Christ. Let this be the year where you rise up from the ashes and you say no more. You dust yourself off from all the hurt, the suffering, and pain. And let 2021 be your year of change, your new beginning, the year where you dust yourself off, you rise up from the ashes, and let God conquer through you, literally. Next year, as I mentioned, is a big year for our country in the future. We must continue the fight. This is Trump America, and we do not bow down to anyone that wants to destroy our Constitution and our freedoms. This is God's America, Trump's America, if you will, and we need to not stop. We need to carry on the fight. We may be in exile for 4 years, but we are fighters. We are not losers. We triumph through Christ. So next week, a big week, the runoffs in Georgia, the certification of Congress for the electoral votes to certify Joe Biden as the 46th president, we must stand up and say this election was fraudulent. There are more than enough examples of fraud. I can't go through it all. But we cannot allow the forces of darkness to take away our constitutional rights. We must fight. We must stand for the truth. But know this, we who are Christians, we do this in the power and the strength of God, who strengthens us and empowers us to stand up against all unrighteousness and every force of darkness that tries to steal our liberties. We must stand up. I wish I could be in Washington on Wednesday, January 6th. What a day that will be. My thoughts and my prayers are with you. I want to thank you for listening this past year. Your support, your listening, your purchase of my books means everything in the world. Thank you for supporting my Iranian friends. Thank you for reading their stories. Once again, 2021, let's pray this is the year that the Iranian regime is destroyed forever. God bless you. Happy New Year. And I will see you next Monday in the new year. Have a safe New Year's Eve.